We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
Hey everyone, we're pumped to be able to share an exclusive trailer with you after the show. From Blue Wire Studios comes Golden Goal: Stories of Soccer Legends. Narrated by fellow Blue Wire host Brandon Kelly, each Monday two new episodes will take a look at some of soccer's biggest stars and the moments that define their careers.
From Haaland, Zlatan, Messi, Rapinoe, and many more, each episode will focus on historical plays and personalities that make the sport great. So stay tuned after the episode and listen to the Golden Goal: Stories of Soccer Legends wherever you get your podcast. What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. We are a day removed from the 4th of July, so we both had what was supposed to be a holiday weekend. Didn't feel like one for me, but we'll touch on that here in a second. Also, something I know Dre can't wait to talk about, Kanye West says he is running for president. Jorge Masvidal is flying to Fight Island, and a ton of pro wrestling, which we finally get to talk about New Japan, because I binged a ton of it over the past couple of days. We get to touch on NXT, WWE main roster. For some reason, Dre is going to try to talk me into why the best friends should be AEW tag team champions.
That ain't it, but yeah, we'll talk.
We'll get to it. In a roundabout way, that's how it is. So he wants to defend the best friends. I say that they're really just Breeze Ango 2.0. We'll get there. For some reason, he feels a certain way about it. I'm telling you, you guys want to stick around for that part of this show. But first, like I said, we got to touch on the 4th of July and what we did. Dre, I did nothing for the 4th of July. I ate tacos. I ate tacos like twice a week. They were bomb. And I sat in the crib. I think the 4th of July might be the most overrated holiday there is.
Yeah, in terms of real holidays, I didn't do anything either. For my holiday weekend, the kids were over. My niece and nephew, my brother-in-law was in town. We ate food and played video games. Yeah, that's what it was. Like, it wasn't, I don't sell it. I took my daughter to see the fireworks because she likes fireworks. But then she fell asleep in the car, so that didn't amount to much of anything. But yeah, 4th of July, I never... Before, like, my wife's birthday is on Juneteenth, so Juneteenth has always been a thing for me in general, and I never celebrated 4th of July. Also, my father-in-law watched his dad get shot in front of him when he was a kid on the 4th of July by a white man, and the white man walked. So we don't really celebrate the 4th of July around these parts. It's just a day off.
Oh, shit. Well, I wouldn't celebrate it either. Ooh. Yeah, I never heard that story. That's wild. Yeah, 4th of July doesn't do much for me either. I'm not a fireworks guy. I've never been into fireworks heavy. Do you ever go out and buy them and pop them? Was that your thing? Were you one of those people?
My pops used to. Like, he'd go to the illegal fireworks place to get, like, the Roman candles and all that shit. So when I was a kid, we used to do that. My wife's family, like I said, they didn't really celebrate it, but, like, the cousins would. Until one year, I think... one of my wife's cousins nearly blew his face off with an illegal firework. And we had just pulled up, and they were like, there was blood all in the driveway and an ambulance. And I was like, yeah, we don't really need to do this shit anymore. So, yeah, I don't really mess with fireworks. I'll look at them. Like, from my house, I could see fireworks from the surrounding casinos. But, man, I ain't blowing shit up. No thanks.
Yeah. No, I don't do that shit either. Like, when I was younger, hold on, let me crack a claw before I start this story. When I was younger... like, in New York, the big thing was, like, getting M80s, right? So, everyone wanted illegal fireworks and shit. Like, it wasn't cool to have, like, sparklers, even though those were around. But the block I grew up on, there was this family above me called the Ramseys. They owned the house. I lived on bottom floor with my grandparents. And they would throw the biggest barbecue ever on the 4th of July, every single year. Like, we used to go and get outfits to just be fly at this barbecue. I don't know who the hell we thought we were impressing. Like, this was like from age 8 through like 15. I don't know who I thought was looking at me. But they would have Mad Cousins. Like, I swear every Jamaican in the Bronx would come through. So it was reggae music from 6 p.m. through 6 a.m. bumping. And I was in the crib, so I couldn't sleep. They had the speakers and everything in the basement. So I was running the street. I was outside. I was eating the food. Shout out to Curry Goat and Jerk Chicken. They made the best jerk chicken. And people used to eat the goat head soup and fight for the eyeball. But that's a whole different conversation. So, like, that was always the 4th of July for me. And then when they stopped doing that, I was like, and I moved to Vegas, but I come home every summer. But then they stopped it. And I was like, oh, this is whack. It's not what I remember growing up. And with the fireworks, people would bring M80s, Roman candles, like you said, a bunch of shit that just blew up in the sky and all this and crazy different colors. I was like, all right. And I'd watch it. I remember one year I decided, like, all right, we're going to be idiots. And we decided to have a Roman candle battle. And we're going, and our street is, like, sloped in the back. So to get to the backyard, you go down this driveway and then down, like, a little hill, and you're in the backyard. So we're just lighting Roman candles and firing them at each other. I'm running, and I dodge one to the left. Boom, I was agile. Dodge one to the left, dodge one to the right, shoot a couple behind me. And then mine hit the ground, and I'm like, yo, that's crazy. I look up. I was like, it hits the ground, but there's mad, like, sparks everywhere. What the hell's going on? And I look, the person who was shooting at me before I ran by them was shooting high. I was dodging it, like, by my ear. And I don't know why they thought it was funny to try to shoot me in the face. But I was dodging it by my ear. That shit missed me, went into the neighbor's yard, and set the tree on fire. And we were like, yo, that's fucking wild. Like, and we just looked for a second. We heard, like, it took maybe 30 seconds to hear, holy shit. And we just bounced. Ran. 3 minutes later, we hear, like, a fire truck. So that shit was, like, a traumatizing experience. But my friend, we barely talk about that to this day. I'm still not giving my friend up. But, yeah, it set the whole neighbor's house or a tree on fire, which was problematic. But then the night goes on, and then someone's like, yo, that Roman candle battle was crazy. They're like, yo, we're going to just start throwing M80s. And I was like, I'm chilling on a porch. Like, no, fuck that. That was the summer where I got the advanced copy of Life After Death, by the way. Humble brag. And so everyone thought I was the shit that summer because I brought the advanced CD down, 9 tracks. And I remember Fucking You Tonight was on it. It was heavily edited, though. But they played it at the barbecue. People were like, oh, my God, you got old CDs. How you got the new Biggie? And I was like, yo, it's mine. Cool. It still had, like, at the end of every song in the beginning, for promotional use only. So it couldn't be bootleg, but we didn't give a fuck. Played that. So people thought Cher was chilling on the stoop. There was a couple girls. I thought I was the man. And then all you think I hear was, yo, everyone looks. Someone throws a Roman or an M80 from 3 houses down. Like, this guy threw that shit like he was Randy Johnson. And everyone, all you think you hear is, yo, you look. You don't see the M80, but you just hear the boom. And then you hear a girl shriek. And it's like this 14-year-old girl who thought she was mad fly. Everyone at the party thought she was fly. My boy Harlem Mike was talking to her all day. He thought he was going to bag the Q joint. And the shit hit her right in the face. Goodness. And blew her eyebrow off. Just her eyebrow. Like, to the white meat. And we were like, what the fuck? And it was one of those things. If you know how hard it is to shut down a Jamaican barbecue, like, you really gotta have some shit. I've seen people stabbed at these things, and the party goes on. Stabbings aren't, like, an awkward situation in New York. Like, you get poked 2 times, you should have been talking shit, the party goes on. We drive you to Montefiore. Everybody else comes back. The M80 stopped the part. Like, she was there just from a couple blocks away. No parents. They had to get an ambulance. This shit was crazy. And I just remember everyone stopped. It took like half an hour. She went away. Hall of Mike looks at us. He was like, damn, I guess I ain't getting her number then. We all just started dying. And then the music cut back on. So, I mean, I don't fuck with fireworks. So was tree burned down. A girl lost her eyebrow. That was enough for me to be like, you know what? Not for me. I could have gotten in trouble twice that night for nothing that I did at all.
That's reason enough to not do that. That's crazy.
Yeah. To this day, she don't got an eyebrow. She's still walking around the Bronx. I see her when I go get a slice every now and then. Her whole shit is like a different color. Like, her eyebrow is light skin. The rest of her body is dark skin. But she still draw them on. Like, she draws both of them on now to match them. It's a horrible visual, but I mean, that's just the truth. Like, she ain't had no eyebrow.
That is crazy.
But yeah, she almost lost an eye. But Yeah, nah, so we know her from that now. But, you know, life moved on. No fireworks for me. So that's why 4th of July is just like, whatever. If I'm not eating wild, good Jamaican food, then it's not worth it. And I haven't since. Like, I go get a plate from the Ramsay's whenever I want, but on 4th of July, the block is quiet. So it's so different than how I grew up. It's whack. So, yep, no 4th of July for me. No eyebrow for her. That is the story in the nutshell. Now that we established neither of us really did anything on 4th of July, someone came out with pretty big news on 4th of July. And that's your boy, Kanye West.
Do we have to? I guess
we do. But I want to preface this with something I haven't seen. Or I want to ask you a question. Start this with something I haven't seen asked. And I didn't ask you a group chat. I haven't asked this to anyone. I want to save it for you. Does this make him marching in the street? Oh, I'll start. Kanye West said he's running for president. I've said it several times. He tweeted this. Elon Musk underneath co-signed him. Cool. Does this make him marching in the streets of Chicago, looking like he's going back? I don't want to say the old Kanye, but making it look as though he's part of the community, Black Lives, a little less Trumpish. Does this make that seem disingenuous now?
This is disingenuous. Like, what is... Dude, I know a market employee when I seen one. Like, anybody... Listen. Man, this is so frustrating. It's July 4th. Presidential candidates need to raise money, put their name on the ballot, submit paperwork, get enough signatures. There's a lot of things you got to do in order to run for president. Kanye has done none of this shit. And he goes on Twitter and just randomly tweets he's running for president. And it becomes news because Kanye loves attention. Yep. Now, first and foremost, who the fuck would vote for Kanye West as president? Now, listen, we just had Trump. We just had Trump, right?
Yep.
And if you're complaining about Trump not having the experience, why the fuck would you even consider voting for somebody like Kanye West?
I mean, there's a lot of idiots. And the argument is not can he win, it's whose fan base will be dumb enough to vote for him.
Well,
is it like Biden's? Is it Trump's? Where does he stand?
It's neither.
Might be idiots and do a write-in. They wrote in other people's names last time.
See, this is what people, I've seen all these articles pop up, like he's going to take away, this is to help Trump win, he's going to take away votes for Biden. It's not true. Because, just like cancel culture, people that are going to vote for Kanye West, pretty sure weren't going to vote for Biden. Pretty sure of that. I don't think anybody's looking at Kanye West like, well, shit, guess I ain't going to vote for Biden. I'm going to vote for Kanye West. Look, man, what you said earlier is very true. This country is full of nincompoops. And anybody who kind of bought into the concept of Kanye West running for president and engaged into a debate about who he's taking votes away from and can he win, like, it's like the show that we did a few weeks ago about the legal process of people going crazy about first degree murder. It fascinates me how we have this thing called the internet when you can Google shit and y'all would instead like to look at TikTok videos and memes and shit like that when a simple Google search will explain to you the process of Kanye running for president and how it's not going to happen. His name won't be on the ballot. It's simple, but because people are nincompoops, everybody just runs off and is like, oh, Kanye's running for president. I don't understand this shit, man. It's like, all he's going to do is drop a techno gospel album, have you pay two Virgils for like a poster that says Kanye for president that's made by Virgil and it'll look like complete shit, and then he'll just walk off with your money. Like, there's there's nothing here. I don't even understand the logic in Kanye West, who absolutely knows nothing about politics, who isn't the smartest guy in the room. Like, what is there to gain to even consider him for president? What would he do during the pandemic? You know what? Fuck all that. He hasn't said a damn thing about Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Elijah McClain, or Breonna Taylor, but he's talking about running for president. Man, no thank you. Don't let him nor Terry Crews distract you from the fact that we're still protesting for a reason that has nothing to do with Terry Crews and black supremacy bullshit and Kanye West running for president. Both of them are avoiding the issues. Don't let them distract y'all. Y'all too easily distracted. And those of you who are not distracted, I'm just preaching to the choir. But this is fucking ridiculous. Crack my claw.
No, it is.
Shit.
It is a distraction. But that doesn't mean that it can't happen per se. Like, again, write-ins are real. And people are idiots.
Ain't nobody gonna win. Kanye West will never win a write-in vote, ever. Green Party can't win.
No, he ain't winning shit.
So what's the point? Like, what is this? Jesse Jackson
wants to... Does he have another album?
That's all it is. It's a marketing ploy. That's it. He needs attention, and this is the best way he's gonna get it. That's it. There's nothing like people like Kim Kardashian. Dude, no. It's called a campaign. It's July 4th. The election is in what? How many months?
A hop, skip, and a jump.
Four months is the election.
Shit.
You think Kanye West is going to be on somebody's debate? You think Kanye... Like, come on, man. This is so stupid. But the fact that this country is entertaining this, or there a lot of people entertaining this as like a news story, shows you how stupid we are. And other countries look at this shit and be like, yo, y'all are dumb as hell. Like, we may be the strongest country with military force, but we damn sure ain't the brightest.
And oh, hell no.
This is proof.
Yeah.
Not smart at all.
Sooner or later, every other country is just going to smarten up. Be like, yo, we're just going to let these idiots destroy themselves.
I mean, that's what they're watching us do. We have a strong military, but man, ain't nobody... Come on, man. We are not winning spelling bees against other countries. We're just not smart. We're not smart, and this is it.
Yeah. Quote, unquote, an American. Like, when was the last time you saw, honestly, in the national spelling bee, like, one of the white kids win it?
Doesn't happen, man. Like,
it's crazy. But, again, they want to say that it's their country. I don't get it. Your sports are full with black people and Spanish people. You at this point, elections are being won by minorities, women, blacks, all that, but it's still, quote-unquote, their country. We see this, like, they're fighting for flags. Trump is fighting to keep these statues of generals who lost the war 200 years ago.
Man, again, I don't care.
Nincompoops is the best word.
Nincompoops. Like, idiots, man. Like, I'm just watching, like, between that and the spike in coronavirus cases and... It's obvious it doesn't matter until the white person dies. Not the right person, the white person. If the white person dies that's young, then we'll start talking about this being a problem again. Until then, the spike in coronavirus cases, they don't care. Fools don't want to wear masks.
They really don't care about killing their grandparents, obviously.
Dog, they don't care. Like, people just wished it away. You can't wish away a virus.
For young people, I think they can.
They think they can.
They think they can. Yeah, I mean, they don't give a fuck. Not enough of them are dying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's like, just from jump. People said, it's not going to hit them as hard as everyone else. Obviously, their immune systems are better.
They need death. Like, death to the white person. If the right white... Look, dude, if Leonardo DiCaprio died of this shit, or some TikTok celebrity died of this shit...
I was about to say, don't take George Clooney. Don't take one of the cool white.
But I'm just saying, like, if somebody, like, mid, like... Nah, even DiCaprio's over 40. So it's like somebody that's under 40, even under 30, that's gone viral.
Has to be a TikTok person.
Yeah, and they take an L? Oh, man. Yeah. Then it's going to be like shut down everything. But until then, because people aren't dying, people still have the nerve to call this stuff a hoax. People think it ain't real. Even if you know people, like every time I'm looking on like Facebook or something, somebody I know either has it or knows somebody who has it. That's scary. And again, I keep saying this. It may not kill me, but I don't want to get sick. Period. I just don't want to get sick. Why would I want to get sick? With no cure. Why?
Makes no damn sense to me.
Stupid.
But people want to party more than they want to be healthy. That's what it comes to. Or they believe it's their right. They believe it's their American God-given right to be able to do whatever they want. Regardless of repercussion.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, in the sports world, like, we're seeing all these athletes that are popping. And it's not like, yes, it's not half the team. But does it really have to be? Because a virus doesn't need everybody to have it in order for it to spread. But who just got it? Freddie Freeman? He's got it. And his wife talked about how hard it's been on him. And there's other people that have talked about having it, and they haven't recovered in months. I don't want to run. Like, that's not a risk I'm willing to run. This is the country that we live in. Nincompoops.
And these are world-class athletes. Rudy Gobert still ain't the same after coughing on people's recorders and shit.
I mean, look, Brendan Schaub's got it. It's like, come on. Like,
oh, well, he's taking 10-mile bike runs without mask on. Saying, again, oh, like, what's, I'm fine. What's wrong? Ha, ha, ha.
What's wrong? That, let's just, what's
Brendan
wrong
Schaub him? is that demographic that don't give a fuck.
It's, but these are the people that would be like, oh, Kanye West is running for president. Like, come on, man. Like, this is why Trump is president. This is the exact reason why. You're easily distracted with bullshit, and the things that are serious you don't care enough about. And, like, you're distracted from the real matter at hand. Like, are y'all forgetting what the protests were about? I have to hold people like Kanye West and Terry Crews accountable. As much as y'all sitting there talking about black supremacy and running for president, I need to hear y'all about the things that matter to us. It's just like any other candidate. This is what matters to us, and y'all not talking about it? Like, I'm not going to vote for Kanye because he's black. No.
Nope.
I'm not going to vote for him because he doesn't even know shit. I'm not taking a chance with him. But he can't. He's not running, guys. Oh, God. Shit.
No, I mean, damn near, you could write in Santa Claus if you wanted to. So there'll be a couple Kanye West votes, but no, it's nothing serious. It's just funny to, you know, it's funny that he has the audacity to say it. And people believe, he said so much dumb shit on Twitter, especially, over the years. And people still just gobble it up. It's like, sooner or later, we just got to tune him out. When we talk about cancel culture, if he's not canceled, nobody's canceled.
He'll never get canceled. Nobody, like, the people who cancel him just, like, I stopped listening to him. That's it. I stopped listening to his new stuff.
Me too. I don't know how that Jesus is King album sounds.
I heard it. Like, as somebody who writes about music, I listen to it. I listen to everything. And I listened, I was like, nope, that ain't it. And I was done. So, come on, man, just move on.
It's his second best album ever, though, according to one list that I dropped in our group chat.
Kanye albums are just... Nincompoops, man. It's like, yo, some of y'all don't need Twitter. Like, y'all just be saying stuff. And it's like, I don't know if you guys are just agitators or if you really believe some of the shit y'all tweet about. It's bizarre to me. But, alas, here we are.
Everyone wants a voice, man. Everyone wants a voice. Let's talk about combat sports. I feel like this is the earliest we've gotten into combat sports in like 5 episodes. So it feels nice. Before we switch over to pro wrestling, which the rest of the show is obviously, we couldn't wait until next Thursday to tackle this subject. The UFC has a new main event for UFC 251. Gilbert Burns is out with, guess what? The Rona. He says he doesn't feel great. Surprise, this guy is a tank of a man. So he's quarantining, trying to get better, healthier. They had pulled Usman for about a day and a half. It took a couple phone calls. And then the BMF champ, Game Bread is the name, Jorge Masvidal, said, you know what? Give me the Rona test. Even though he's in Florida. I'm hoping he passes this. He's like, you know what? I'm there. I'm in Miami. He hopped on a private jet. He's in quarantine right now in a room in Vegas awaiting the test results. Everything comes back good. He's flying to wherever the hell this is, Abu Dhabi, yep, for Fight Island. He's going to touch down, and the fight fans want to see all along. Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal will be made. And Dre, you started this.
I didn't start this.
You started this? You interviewed Usman, Super Bowl week. He left your presence 30 seconds after. Him and Masvidal are in each other's face, and Usman has his hands behind his back, telling Masvidal, let's get it.
I mean, they didn't like each other. They just interviewed with me beforehand. I didn't have nothing to do with this. But
what'd you ask him about? You asked him about Masvidal?
No, I interviewed Masvidal first. I interviewed Usman after the fight that night. I asked Masvidal about
You riled Masvidal. Yeah, there you go. You riled him up.
I just asked him, you know, do you want to... Because the question I asked Masvidal was, if you had your pick, would you fight Conor McGregor or Kamaru Usman for the welterweight title? And he said Usman. And I was like, wow, really? Why? And he's like, because I just don't like it, that motherfucker. I want to punch him in the face. I, you know, finished up the interview, left, and then I get the alert, and I was like, damn, I just left Media Row at the Super Bowl. And, yeah, they're yelling at each other and pushing and fighting. And then I saw it to Kamaru, and he was like, I don't know why he was so hopped up. And I was like, oh, maybe I have an idea. But now we're here, and I know we'll talk about this more, you know, when we do our MMA and boxing show later this week. But hopefully everything passes these two end up fighting. It's the fact that Masvidal, I'm so curious about the terms that they agreed upon this quick, given the fact that Masvidal and the UFC have been beefing for like the past 2 months, and they brought this shit together in the last 2 weeks. Did Masvidal get what he was asking for? Very curious. The next thing I'm curious about, which by the time we talk to our show, we'll have a better idea, is weight cutting. If they're quarantining, and then they got to hop on, it's like a 14-hour flight to Abu Dhabi, then they got to test again, and then quarantine again, when do you cut weight? Now, for somebody like Usman, who I'm figuring has been working on his weight cut for the past few weeks, it may not be as difficult, even though he's really big as a welterweight. Masvidal's just jumping into the fight. But he was a lightweight, so I'm assuming he could be closer to his target weight.
He looked good today. Like, there's, you know, video and pictures that came through ESPN and everything. He looked really good. Like, in terms of, I worried about the same thing. But, you know, he's not a guy with, like, crazy amounts of muscle to cut. It's just water weight. He's not a muscular guy where he's just, like, walking around super jacked and it's hard for him to get down. Usman will have more trouble with this two-day delay and being in limbo, I would think, than Masvidal. He looked pretty close. He looked really good to that weight.
Nah, I'm curious, man, because it's not like you can be a couple pounds over. Like, you got to hit – it's a title fight, so you got to hit that weight. So I'm curious if both these guys can hit the weight, being quarantined, 14-hour flights. You know,
they got the sauna pods. They're going to have to find a way to get them treadmills probably in their room.
They're going to have to figure out something. And I mean,
and then you got the tub. So mostly if you get those three things in the room, you're set.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, we'll talk. As long as their tests come back clean, you know, we'll have something to talk about with a new main event. Like I said, man, as much as I talk about the UFC is blowing boxing out the water right now.
Oh, yeah, because they're putting on their normal cards.
Yeah.
Without missing a beat, like actual title fights. But again, everyone's under one umbrella.
I mean, that's not the problem. Boxing. The problem is boxers get paid too much.
Oh, that's also true.
I mean, that's the real,
you can't justify.
Yeah, you can't.
Paying, you know, Loma, Teofimo, what they're worth without crowds or without a heavy pay-per-view guarantee.
Yeah, like
UFC has their pay-per-view pretty much. I mean, UFC pay-per-views don't fluctuate that much, so they kind of know what they get into.
Yeah, so this is not, like, this will be a pay-per-view that people are going to buy with Masvidal on it. Like, it makes sense. Boxing, on the other hand, it's hard to justify paying anybody millions of dollars if they can't draw pay-per-view and they don't have much of an audience. So, this is a coup. Like, this is good for the UFC because I know people are like, yeah, Max Holloway versus Volkanovski is a good main event. It's not. It's not a big draw as a main event.
No.
Like, this is a big draw as a main event. Masvidal versus Usman. They have beef. There's a rivalry here. Volkanovski actually handled Max pretty well. So I'm not too intrigued with that. And I'm absolutely not intrigued with Jan versus Aldo. In terms of, like, as a draw? No. That ain't it. So this is the fight that people need to boost. Like, this will boost pay-per-view sales. That fight.
Because people, no, I agree.
People want to see it.
Yeah. It'll make a serious dent in... I guess it'll make a serious boost in the pockets of the UFC. Because whatever you had to pay Masvidal over whatever you're going to pay Burns, it's probably going to be worth it. Because you're getting a lot more eyes on this fight.
Yeah.
And if we're being real, the mystique of Jorge Masvidal grows exponentially. More so than having this fight with a correct build. People are like, yo, this guy who fought in Kimbo's backyard, didn't care who he was fighting, is doing this shit, 15 years later. And still just walking off the street and saying, let's go, title shot. Like, you're marketing him as the BMF. He's a BMF for doing this.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. It's picture perfect for the UFC. It has fallen into their lap. Now it's up to the Rona. If they test and everything comes back clean, then we'll have one hell of a fight to talk about on Thursday. Let's hit to break real quick. When we come back, we're talking New Japan first and then getting into AEW, NXT, and main roster stuff after that. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, there's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website.
Looking for something else other than sports? BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
All right, everybody, just that quick, we are back, and we are talking pro wrestling. New Japan has returned a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't been able to talk about it because of me. And I hadn't watched the New Japan Cup until 2 days ago when I was like, you know what? I'm binging it. And I've gotten, I think, 6 shows deep. So good enough where I feel like Dre could talk about it and not spoil anything for me. So far, Dre, what are your key moments for this year's New Japan Cup?
Nagata and Suzuki beating the shit out of each other.
Only thing I thought of was Big E is two big men bumping meat.
Good Lord.
But this is two old men bumping meat. Like, it was just two old men beating the shit out of each other.
Dude.
I love that match. That is your type of match, though.
That I like with these two guys, when you're real snug and stiff and just start beating the shit out of each other, yeah, I'm here for it. That match, Ishii versus Takahashi, was another one of those. Dude, Takahashi's fucking nuts.
You'd think the guy didn't just almost end his career with a broken neck a year ago.
It's crazy. Crazy.
He's coming back, just putting it all out there.
It's weird because there were some shocking results. You know, some early eliminations that I didn't see coming. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi was pretty good. I mean, it's been a good tournament.
I don't think that was as good as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't. It felt like they were holding back.
Yeah, it was quick, too.
Yeah,
it was. I felt like they had more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I think Sho has looked really good in the tournament. They're clearly building towards. There's a few feuds that they're building inside.
Sho Sanada was a really good match.
Yeah. I mean, this the tournament's good. Some of the matches haven't been great. But they've been pretty damn good overall. So, like I said, if you need to go out of your way to watch a couple matches, Suzuki and Nagata, absolutely. You need to go out of your way to watch that shit. And Ishii and Takahashi. And also Okada and Takahashi was a really good match. But it's...
Oh, not there yet.
Yeah, it's... There have been really good matches. Not all of them are great. You know, you get the occasional Naito pop up every now and then for a tag match. They're debuting, was it Master Wong? Which is, we could talk about that when he actually shows up. I think it's in the Dominion he's showing up. But
which is right around the corner.
Yeah, but I think ultimately it's good to see New Japan back. They know how to do empty arena shows well. Like, the good matches were good. Like I said, there were some surprises. And I'm just happy to see some New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Nah, me too, man. I'm excited for these two cards that have happened already, but I haven't seen them because, or I guess it's one card, but the two semifinal matches. And the one that intrigued me and how the brackets broke that I didn't even think about until like it kind of worked its way through was Evil versus Sonata.
Oh, yeah.
In the semifinals match, I was like, yo, it's been a while where we've been saying, like, you could really break these two apart. Great tag team. You really don't got shit else with tag teams. Unless, you know, the reports of Gallows and Anderson coming back are true, which, cool, it gives you the same tag team scene you had 3 years ago, minus the Bucks, but at least it gives you something. So I get that. But Evil and Sonata, it's like, Sonata, either you're going to push him or you're not going to push him.
Yeah, they end up
losing time to time. Yeah, like, him winning this tournament would go a long way. Even a really good showing against, like, an Okada in the final or Takahashi in the final would go a long way for him. So, I think this is a good time to showcase Sonata. And during his run, spoiler alert, for anyone who hasn't watched, you know, it was an easier path for him. So, he didn't have to go through many of the big boys to get there. So you kind of save his best match for last, which is good. So I'm looking forward to see how that plays out. I can't wait for Dominion. It sucks that the New York card that was supposed to be in August is canceled.
Yeah.
because that would have been real fun. I'm, what, an hour and a half away? I'm pretty sure a lot of us, I mean, would have came through for that one.
Yeah, I probably would travel for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fun, man. It's going to be interesting when this finally picks back up and we get going and we can get back into wrestling. It's going to be great, but New Japan hit the ground running. They didn't miss a beat.
No, not at all. And if anybody's, like, looking, other things to watch is that the Takahashi and Yano match is actually really goofy but funny as shit. There's an elevator spot. There's some wild shit. Like, Sho and Shingo Takagi are clearly building towards a feud. That was early in the tournament. Sho's got a new look also, which makes you wonder if they're getting ready to split those two. But yeah, it's a good tournament. It's good to get back into it, and we've had some good matches. And like I said, there's some surprises. So those of you who are behind, sorry, but Tanahashi loses in the first damn round to Tai Chi, which nobody saw coming. But other than that, you know, there's been upsets here and there, but it's a good tournament. It's a good tournament. I'll be excited when we have Dominion, because the finals are on July 11th. So, yeah, we're about a week out.
Yeah, man. A week, and then, you know, that's like a nice little appetizer to the main event that following weekend, which is the horror show.
Oh.
Extreme Rules.
I don't know. That's a horrible transition.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I just had to troll you with that. No, I'm not even talking about that shit right now. We'll leave that for later. Because I really have nothing to talk about. I'm not excited at all about that. Next thing up is NXT. And to talk about NXT's Great American Bash Night 1. So we're gearing up for Night 2. Night 2 looks really good, except the Moxley match has been moved over a week because of the Rona. But even then, I thought Night 1 AEW was cool. I expect this week to be a little better. But I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was okay. There was one glaring thing for a second that I was kind of upset about. But outside of that, I guess I liked it.
I mean, it was
cool. It was cool.
Like, both shows were good, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of both of them. But
excuse me, Fighter Fest. I forgot. I said, like, Great American Bash. Yeah. Fighter Fest.
We're talking about Fighter Fest first?
Yes, AEW Fighter Fest.
Yeah, I thought both NXT and Fighter Fest both had good shows. I already explained, like, I really hate that NXT, like, consciously tries to counter-program it, because they could put on good shows without, like, making it very obvious that they're counter-programming. Yeah.
But now they can't say they're not, because it's 2 weeks of Great American Bash.
Dog, it's weird, man. You got the bigger brand, you have the name, you don't have to counter-program. Like, just put on good matches and people are going to watch shit, I promise you.
Whatever. Just counter-program every year, then. If this is going to be a thing, don't make this hokey, like, oh, we got to beat them right now. Do it every year.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
So, Fighter Fest, yeah, it was good. Like I said, it wasn't like this barn burner, fantastic show with, like, five stars. That didn't happen. I thought the Jurassic Express MJF Warlow match was good. Meltzer gave it 4.25 stars. I didn't see it being that good.
Best match of the night, according to Meltzer.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I thought it was good, though.
Me, it was cool. I liked it. I like Wardlow.
Yeah, I know. I like
that. If they fix his wardrobe, he had some good spots in this match. Luchasaurus, I don't think he's completely healthy yet.
I don't know.
From, like, that leg injury, because he's just not moving the same. But outside of that, it was a good match.
Yeah, Marco Stunt flying around, getting tossed around. It's a good match.
Jungle Boy is really good.
Jungle Boy is very good. And he's really good. He's really good to watch. Like, him and Darby Allin getting in a few, I'd like to see.
MJF's chemistry with Jungle Boy is incredible, too. Because they had that really good match, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
I think at the pay-per-view. And then now, even in his tag match, their chemistry is just... especially, it's going to be really good in a main event program, like, 5 years from now. We'll point back when they're on top of it and just be like, you know what? This led to that. Yo, we saw this coming.
I think
they're really good.
I think what we're starting to see out of MJF is, like, a lot of people forget how young he is. And I think he's really developing as a pro wrestler right before our eyes. So it's like when he has matches with Jungle Boy or this particular tag match and his small heelish nuances, he's pretty good. And he's only getting better. So it was good to watch him. The surprise of the night was Penelope Ford and Sheeta. I thought this match was going to be straight garbage. And this was actually a really good match. Yep. Clearly the best match of Penelope Ford's career, but they made the right decision putting the title on Sheeta and kind of turning her loose. She's really good. And I didn't see this initially. I did not see this with Sheeta. I thought she was good. But those first, like, her early run, I was like, eh, it's all right, cool, whatever. Now, after after she got the title, it's like, she's legit. And this match was the near falls, like the Matrix dodging of the flying dropkick. Like, this was a really good match that I didn't expect coming. I guess that's why it was good, because I didn't see it coming.
No, I agree. And I think putting Sheeta on top of the women's division has completely changed the perception of their women's division.
Absolutely.
That, you know, Britt Baker and Swole having their interactions are hilarious too. Don't get me wrong. Britt Baker is still doing great work just promo-wise. So that has helped a lot as well. But in-ring, Sheeta has managed to get the best matches out of their talent, and she's lessened that learning curve.
Yeah. She's really...
So it doesn't look like, you know, a botch fest like it was before. And someone pointed out to me on Twitter when I was like, yo, I give her a lot of credit for carrying this division and completely changing around. They're like, that's what NXT did with Asuka at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, no one else is ready right now. So Asuka's going to be our champion for a year and a half.
Yeah.
But she's going to keep this afloat and do amazing matches.
Yeah.
Because she's the best we got.
You need...
And they did the same thing.
Dude, you need your young talent, your young and your young women's talent, young talent in general. You need them to work with seasoned talent. And Asuka was a seasoned talent, and so she can make you look good. That's why I've always had a problem with NXT calling up certain talent too soon. Because it's like, well, damn, who are they going to work with? But in this case, like with Sheeta, she's making people look good. Now, they still got to beef up this women's division, obviously, but
yeah,
this was, again, surprisingly good match. Was it the 4 that Meltzer has it as? Yeah, 3.75. I wouldn't give it a 4, but it was good. It was arguably, it was one of the best matches of the night at Fyter Fest for sure.
Definitely. I don't know how he watches that with those eyes and then turns and sees Sasha Banks versus Io Shirai and gives it a worse rating. Maybe if you think they're equal.
I can see equal. Cause
but
we'll talk about it. But yeah.
But like, listen, man, you're on the podcast. I don't know. Your boy got me blocked. But this is why people go at him and they claim bias and shit like that. It's like, come on. Like, our eyes aren't dumb. That's like insulting of a rating when you don't even see them as equal. Like, it's ridiculous. I had them all the time. I have two TVs right next to each other. So, like, I can see this shit. It's not like I watched one and then, like, they were pretty close together in terms of when they went on. So, it's kind of ridiculous, that rating. But, alas, that's why I'm blocked. Next up, Cody versus Jake Hager, which I believe also received a 4-star rating.
It did, and yeah, no. Was this a solid match between these two, given their you know, the capabilities? Yeah, sure. It was like a 3.
That's a caveat.
Yeah, that's it's true.
You had to put so many...
I had to.
...parameters around that to give it a compliment.
Dude, these two are not... They're not going to tear the house down, right? Like, Cody's torn the house down once with his brother. And he's had some decent matches. Hager, I can't recall a match that has been excellent or close to that from him. So these two turned into a match that I thought was, all right, cool, this is pretty good. Not pretty good. It wasn't bad. How about that? I think it was like a 3-star match. You got a 4. The finish was cool. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like maybe I'm starting, like, maybe this whole Cody turning heel thing is slowly coming to fruition. Because it feels like they're inching towards it. And now that they've signed Brian Pillman Jr., like, there's a part of me that wonders if he's, like, can make a stable out of some of these guys and split from the Elite. Because he hasn't...
You go New Horseman?
I don't know if you call him that, but...
No, but I'm saying, like, a New Horseman-style stable.
Yeah,
him,
because...
Pillman and the Revival?
Yeah, like, because the thing is, is that Cody hasn't been with the Elite at all. You haven't seen... Like, he hasn't interacted with them? Nothing. At all.
No. Like he had that weird stable, like, what is that shit called? Where they wore tracksuits. It was with his brother, you know, the Nightmare Collective.
Yeah, and, dude, they're not the Elite. Like, Cody is, I feel like the Cody heel turn is has to come soon, because he's a good heel. Yeah. And given his limitations in ring, to surround himself with guys like Pillman Jr. and maybe FTR, and maybe even another young talent, would behoove him. And it would give something for him to do on as a heel rather than being a babyface. And I think it would be a lot better for him. But this match was whatever.
You were doing everything possible to not say, Kel, you were correct. Cody is not good in ring.
No, he's good. He's not great. He's solid. He's solid. He's not solid. Bad.
All right. No, he's not bad. We've seen bad.
Yeah, he's not
we
bad.
We follow a Mongo account. He's not bad.
No, but he's not.
He's average.
Yeah, he's not a great wrestler. He's not somebody that's going to tear the house down. He's a good.
He is a great character.
Yes, he's a fantastic character. Good promo. Well, he's got really good promo abilities now.
Incredible promo ability.
And he can have good matches. Like his match with Jericho was good. Like he can have good matches, but he's not going to give you a 5-star match unless it was that Dustin match. It was like that was the pinnacle of his career.
Yeah, and that played a lot off his story. He's very old school in that regard.
Yeah.
Like you can tell, like when Taker cut that quote, he was like, it's about the story you can tell in ring, not all this flippiness and the moveset. Like that's Cody. When there is a really good story to be told in the ring, he can deliver a match. But if you throw him out there with quick feuds, Wardlow, this, with Hager, whatever challenge he had just a while ago for the title, and that wasn't even a super quick feud. They tried to put some stuff into that with Jake the Snake.
You know, the Lance Archer match, yeah.
Lance Archer, yeah. See? That's the problem with having Jake the Snake with Lance Archer. But yeah, like, these quick feuds, he just doesn't have enough story to put into the match.
No. So, like, this match, like, this feud, nobody looked at this feud on paper and was like, oh, they're going to tear it down. So, this did what it did a little better than what I expected. Like, I didn't want to.
It did not for me.
I didn't want to fast
forward. Jake Hager was create a wrestler number 7. Like, Walmart brand knee pads and underwear. Like, come on. Where'd you go to get those underwear?
Yeah, he looked like
Costco brand?
He was, like, trying to be, like, semi-MMA-ish in this match. The look. But, yeah. I mean, he's okay.
You got to go Lesnar trunks or some Muay Thai shit. Like, you got to do something. Even Matt Riddle has the short trunks that look more MMA-ish. This was, like, bargain basement draws.
Yeah.
And horribly big knee pad. He looked like a high school girls volleyball player.
Yeah. I mean, the Hager signing was a good signing to give some credibility. And he's a good mid-card guy. How about that? He's not an upper-card.
That's fair.
He's not a top guy. He'll never be a top guy. But he's good to fill a role in the middle of the card. Sooner or later, though, he's going to have a better match. Like, his matches are really slow for whatever reason. They're just really slow and plodding.
And they have bigger... They have better big guys now. How about that?
Yeah, they do.
Where you can't justify really putting them in many places because there's, I mean, Wardlow's better, in my opinion. You have Brian Cage who can go, who's in that spot now. You have these guys, Archer's a bigger guy for that company. So you have these guys who are bigger who probably deserve a higher platform. I think he's going to get lost in the shuffle. He might just always be Jericho's muscle.
Might be, which is fine.
I mean, listen, they're cutting the check. I can't tell the man not to get the check.
Yeah.
So that's perfectly fine. Private Party with Matt Hardy defeated the Inner Circle, Santana and Ortiz. Poor Justin Ike. Our boy Justin in the group chat, who loves Impact. He hates seeing his boys done like this. He was so hyped when LAX signed. And so far, they have done a lot of nothing besides build feuds for other people. And this is really just continuing on the Matt Hardy, Chris Jericho feud, which really hasn't come to fruition yet.
Yeah, I think that feud is dead. I think this was really, I think LAX is in it. Well, Santana Ortiz won't call him LAX. They're in a position right now where once it's time for them to flip the switch, they'll go. Right now, a team like Private Party needs to win a little bit more than LAX, because otherwise you're not building other tag teams. And this was
That's fair.
And this was a good match. This was not a bad match. And this is one of the cleaner matches that Private Party's had. And I think they need to have matches with teams like this in order to establish themselves. Santana and Ortiz are going to be fine. Now, 6 months from now, if they're still doing the same shit, we can have this conversation. But as of right now, when they flip the switch for those two, they'll be a problem. But they just haven't done it yet because there's kind of no reason to just yet. They're still figuring some things out. Like, we just got Pentagon and Phoenix coming back. You signed FTR. There's a lot of room to wiggle and put other guys over. And Private Party, clearly a lot of people believe in them. They beat the Young Bucks on their first night, and now they've beaten LAX. So hopefully this leads to better matches. Well, not even better matches. Cleaner matches out of those two, because a lot of times Private Party spots feel very choreographed. Like, you feel like you can see what they're trying to do.
Even in this one, there's a lot of people waiting around to catch them.
Yeah, so it's like, once it's, like, the Bucks have done a good job of intertwining story with athleticism. And they've figured that part out, where they can have a story, a great story, but they can have those athletic moments without it looking very choreographed and scripted. Whereas Private Party, there are times where it feels like they're working to set up a high spot. And it's like, when you see that, it kind of slows things down. Fortunately, Santana Ortiz, they're a lot more natural. Like, a lot of the spots that they grow into, they go, like, run right into their spots. They know where to be at all times. So them losing didn't bother me at all. This was a good match. If I remember correctly, Private Party kind of snuck out the victory, too. I think it was like...
They did.
It was like...
Yeah, it wasn't like super clean, like we just beat them.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, I'm shocked.
And I have a feeling that at some point within the next 2 or 3 months, Santana Ortiz are going to get angry and they're going to be a different tag team. So I was fine with this result. I liked the match. It was fine for what it was.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. Again, another cool match. This was a cool card they had.
Yeah.
Like, it was good, and I think Night 2 would be even better. So, it's not a bad card. The worst match to me was Cody and Jake Hager. That getting 4 stars is fucking criminal. But then again, to the main event. Let me crack my claw. So, this main event rolls around. Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Best Friends. Kenny Omega and Adam Page still have a little bit of friction. And it seems as though the breakup is still afoot. It's on its way. But in our group chat, as soon as this match was about to start, several people were like, you know what? I think it's time for Omega and Page to drop the titles. They're like, they should drop it tonight while we were watching this. And I was like, excuse me? They should drop it to the Best Friends? And this is what started a whirlwind in our group chat and leads us to this moment. So, I stand by what I said. The Best Friends are the 5th best tag team on this roster. There is no way they should get a title shot. They built themselves a title shot, so they deserve that. There's no way they should hold the titles before teams like the Young Bucks, like LAX, like the Lucha Bros, and like the Revival. I don't care if Revival showed up yesterday. There's no way that the Best Friends should be champions before those teams. It's not justifiable. I don't care how good of a run they're on or what anyone else says. They gave that participation medal away already to SCU. The 5th best tag team on the roster should not get a tag team title run before the top 4 have ever touched the belt. No way, no how. Shout out to Rob Parker. I can't be convinced of this. And then you took offense that I said that they were AEW's version of Breezango.
Mm-hmm.
You get worse than Breezango. Why are you dissing my boy Tyler Breeze and Fandango?
Because
Fandango beat Jericho.
No, come on, dude. First and foremost, to even suggest that the Best Friends are like Breezango when the Best Friends have, you know, been excellent in New Japan, bring PWG, like they've had runs that have been really good elsewhere. And they show up here, so compared to a team that wasn't on TV for almost a year is blasphemous.
I'm not comparing. I don't care what you did outside of this company, by the way.
Okay.
Because that's the case, then the Dark Order should have had a tag team title shot because Super Smash Bros. Were pretty damn good.
Not the same thing.
But I don't care.
No. Because the reason why you're saying LAX is, and you're using the letters LAX, is because of what they did in Impact. So you are judging it based on what they've done outside of AEW. Because if you were judging it inside of AEW, then the Best Friends would be deserving of the title shot and the opportunity.
Above them. Correct.
So that's point number one. Point number two is, why do you want your wrestling to be predictable? Like, why do you want...
I'm not asking predictable, but the 5th best?
Dude.
I saw this with SCU already.
Here we go.
And that shit was bland. And then you said, oh, don't worry, they're just giving it to Kenny and Paige to foster their feud. Then that was... Rona hit, so listen, they got an excuse. But that was 4 months ago. And it's like, okay, so now a tag team that really isn't a tag team has held the belts. You went from SCU to them. And still none of the top tag teams heralded tag teams. Why you have the best tag team division in the world, which is true, have not held the belts? And you're like, oh, you have time. Okay, so someone gets a sustained run. The Young Bucks got to have it for 6 months. Then the next one, 6 months. So LAX not getting it for another 2 years.
Why do you think that?
You are holding that off for a while. Or then you're just paying hot potato, which is also not good.
So what do you want exactly?
I want a top tag team and for them to boast and say they have the best tag team division. Yes, you do. Then use it and run with
so,
it. Stop. Your tag team titles, it's okay. You used it for a feel-good narrative with SCU. Then you used it to build a feud. The next time it changes hands, put that shit on a team that is really a team and one of the best in the world, which it looks like they're doing.
So here's a question. So if the best friends were that, what, first of all, what's your problem with the best friends in terms of comparing them to Breezango?
They're the fifth best on the roster currently, okay. And the top four have not touched the belt.
Okay.
That's like Breezango currently, the fifth best team in NXT, winning the tag team titles. For what? There's four other teams who have not touched the gold above them.
Okay.
And I don't even know if they're the fifth best on NXT at this point. But it comes down to that point, like if the best ones don't hold it first, what's the point of being the best?
Okay. How long has AEW been a company?
A year.
No. They haven't even been a company a year. They started television in October.
No, you asked how long they've been a company, not how long
Fine.
They've been
they
on
had,
television.
They had one pay-per-view.
It's been a year, double or nothing.
Okay.
March
and they had no television in those months. They had like a Fighter Fest.
Yep.
And then they had All In.
September hit, and then they were gone.
And then they had television. So they haven't been... They haven't been on TV for, let's see, 4 months, and then the Rona hit. So they've So they've had a change of plans. So why do you need to rush?
They were still on TV through the Rona.
Yes, but plans changed. Obviously, the Lucha Bros weren't around. Adam Page wasn't even around. He stayed home because of the Rona.
Yep.
Why are you in a hurry to burn out the best tag teams right now?
You don't gotta burn
you are.
Them out, but. No, listen, they can have sustained runs. Just give
one
of the best four tag teams on the planet who are all under your banner. Give one of them the tag team.
So
banner.
Who's...
Is that too ridiculous to ask? One of them.
So in the WWE, because we'll just use this as a comparison, or even New Japan.
Yes.
New Japan, obviously, Kazuchika Okada is the champion.
He is the guy.
How many times has Kota Ibushi held the title?
None.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't full-time until 2 years
ago. I'm just saying.
I'm
just saying because you're using this small window that AEW's been around to be...
I'm saying they always have it on one of their top four talents. When was the last time someone not in the top four? Jay White is the only one, arguably not in the top four talent, in the past 8 years that you've told me to watch New Japan, that someone not in the top four of the company has held the belt. Outside of that, it's The Ace, it's Okada, it's AJ Styles... I don't even think, what's his face held it? Nakamura didn't even hold it. But you look, it's always someone in the top four of the company. Why? Because that means you're one of the best and they reward you. They don't reward the seventh best like SCU was.
So you had a problem with Jay White being champ?
We talked about this extensively. I did not like it. I think his best work came after he lost the belt.
So you want the best guys to always have the titles?
At least the top four.
No, I'm just saying, you want the best guys. So there's you don't.
I want one of the top best guys to always be your champion, correct? I hate WWE putting the belt on Braun Strowman.
So,
it's killed an entire SmackDown roster.
So I'll ask you this question then. Were you excited when the Revival won the tag titles?
Yep. And they had worked themselves into the top four at that time.
I think we might need to go back to that show.
Oh, we can go back to that show.
Because you remember they were...
That was one hell of a
match. I'm saying, to get to that point, were they deserving? Were they one of the best tag teams in NXT?
I believe so.
They were?
They were not above...
No, you didn't even know their fucking names.
I still don't know their fucking names.
But they didn't know their names either.
Which one is Dash Wilder?
People called them the Mechanics.
I called them the Mechanics.
They didn't have names. Nobody really looked at them as the best tag team. It wasn't until after they had the tag titles that they were considered one of the best tag teams in the world. There are a lot of times in pro wrestling, period, where the best don't have the belts immediately. They eventually
get
their...
That's fine.
Wait, slow down.
The top four?
No, slow down. The Dudleys arrived in the WWE and didn't get the titles for a year.
Okay.
Did you have a problem with that?
Who had the belts, Dre?
Did you have a problem with it?
Did Edge and Christian have those belts?
At what point?
When the Dudleys arrived, did Edge and Christian have those belts? Did the Hardys hold those titles?
When they
what was the reason they didn't?
You know who
get
had the tag titles? Because I've been waiting for this. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
Top four tag team.
Are they really? Are you serious? Wait. Are you serious?
They were part of DX.
Wait.
They were a top four tag
team. So you're going to tell me that Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were a top tag team in
they
work,
were on
work
fire.
Rate? No. I didn't ask you if they were on fire as characters. I'm talking about their
in
work.
In the company.
I'm talking about their work.
They were top four.
They were better than the
in
Hardys?
In ring or not in ring? No, they were top four. Hardys were better. Edge and Christian better. Outside of that, who else was better? It's a top four tag team. And you can't say that DX wasn't on fire.
I asked you about their wrestling.
They put it. Okay, I'm not just including wrestling. I'm saying top five tag teams.
Tell
right?
me.
Not just in ring.
What's the most memorable New Age Outlaws match?
I can't even point
Thank to you. Them. Okay.
I know their characters were larger than life.
I asked you.
I'm not arguing just in ring, though. That's where you got it messed up. I'm not in ring. Top four overall in your company, for whatever reason. I include Big Cass and Enzo in the NXT
And
one.
How many tag team title
the
runs
Revival,
did they have?
None.
Thank
and the
you.
Revival were under them. But a team always better than them was holding. American Alpha. I don't think DIY was around yet.
They were.
But American Alpha had the titles. I think Kaz and Enzo moved up, maybe.
No, sure. They were still there. They just never got the titles. They kept losing.
Yeah, so you look at that. That's the only top four tag team that didn't get it. Everyone else who made it to the top four of NXT has held the titles. Not one in AEW yet in a year has held
they
the
They haven't
title.
Been
Understand,
a company for a
Young
years.
Bucks.
Calm down. They just started doing TV in October.
We're not counting TV. We're talking a company. When Ooh. Were these belts rolled out?
Yeah, exactly.
A year ago.
Who were the inaugural tag team champions?
SCU. They won it at
when?
Double or Nothing.
No, they were not.
We were there.
Are you sure about that?
I remember we had the tag team ladder match.
Was that for tag titles?
No, that was.
Did anybody give
a
shit?
Match. Everyone gave a
no,
shit.
No, no, no. Did anybody give a shit that it wasn't for the tag titles? Here's where I'm going with this. If
no,
the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros have a match without the tag titles, they can carry a show, a program without those titles, right?
Correct. Oh, easy. Easy.
So why do the best teams always need the tag team, especially with a company that hasn't been here for a year?
Because then have to value your title.
Wait,
does your title
mean? You can't value the title with the best friends? So the best friends haven't had good matches.
The best friends have had good matches, but if they are when you have the titles, you are the pinnacle of something.
Really?
That's what the titles
really?
Mean. That's what they're supposed to mean.
Really?
In theory, yes. That's why. They are gold. They are metal.
Really?
It's supposed to show that you are the cream of the crop.
So you're telling me underdog teams can't win the tag titles?
They can,
okay.
But not
right.
ahead of the four best in the world.
Wait, why not? That's what upsets are built off of. That's how the Revival got the tag titles, and that's why they had their run.
Okay, but that's what they've done it once with SCU. They've done it.
They were really an underdog tag team?
Yes.
They were?
There was
SCU just, was an underdog tag team?
SCU
really
was the fourth best tag team.
No,
on the
I said an underdog tag team.
Okay, not an underdog tag team.
So,
but they weren't your top tag team, so you gave them the participation
trophy. So you're arguing the fact that you don't want anybody outside of the top four to hold any major title if they're outside of the top four of anything.
Before the other ones
Why
do,
is there
it
a
makes
rush?
No sense
the company hasn't been here on television weekly for a year yet. The tag teams were won by SCU in a tournament that was on TV that started in October. That's where you need to start this shit from.
All right, so they won those, handed it off. Cool. So you hand it off to what team?
Who won it? Do you?
The team that currently has
exactly.
It.
Two teams.
That isn't a
two
team.
Two teams have held the tag team titles. Two. The company.
Which I like this long.
The tag teams haven't. The tag team division is established, but the titles just came into the picture less than a year ago.
When is it time to pull the trigger and put it on one of these amazing top four in the world quality?
If,
like, honestly, you say you got the best tag team division, you've hung your hat on this from day one, you have built what you said you were going to build, why wouldn't you make one of these teams your title?
So you're telling me if the best friends hold the tag titles, that means the division is not as good as you think?
I think they would then have to hold it for another 4 months.
No, you're just your fantasy booking. Your fantasy book. I'm saying if the best friends held the tag team titles, considering that this is a company that said wins and losses matter, and the best friends have been winning, it would make sense.
They can book anyone.
It would make sense to put on LAX who's losing.
No, they could book LAX to win.
But they're not. But if the
which still makes no sense. It's to the point where they're trying to be too. yo, I'm your friend. Anyone can make it here.
No, dude, they haven't been here a year yet. Two teams have held the tag team titles. It is not.
And I feel like the next team is going to be, in my case, one of the top four.
It's not.
The Best Friends didn't win. God.
The Best Friends didn't win, but if they would have.
And they didn't win for a reason.
No, they, of course, but they could have won. And nobody would have really. Because, look, if you want to split up Paige and Omega like tag teams in the past, you know what usually happens? They lose to an underdog team because of a miscommunication with the tag team. And that's how you build a storyline. They usually don't lose to the top two or three tag teams in the world. They lose to somebody else. If the Best Friends won the title, I don't see what would be wrong with this. Now, you compare it to Fandango, and I want to just go to this analogy we use in the group chat, because who's the fifth best player on the New York Yankees?
I pick Gary Sanchez.
And who else do you guys have?
We have Gleyber Torres. We have
Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton, DJ LeMahieu. Uh-huh. Those are the people I put above him, those four.
And then you got like pitchers and like Severino. Sanchez. Who's the fifth best player on the Miami Marlins?
Dre, I can barely know one player on my.
So when you talked about Bree, and when you compared,
do you know multiple?
Here's my point. When you I didn't have a problem with what you were saying because I watched this the day after, until you said compare them to Breezango, because you can't even name the. If you said they're fifth, you can't even name the top four teams in NXT.
I can't. I put them fifth, and that's probably disrespectful.
It was. And then
that
you
means
said,
I would have to then, put the Punjabi Pain.
And
Arthur's a Punjabi Pain.
And then you had the nerve to say, don't let me disrespect Breezango like that. This is my problem with your take.
That is disrespectful to them, because I put them as fifth under the Punjabi Pain brothers.
But I can't. This is my problem with your comparison. A stacked division like AEW, to compare a fifth best tag team in the Best Friends to a tag team Breezango, who you can't even name the four teams ahead of them, is disrespectful. Best Friends are in a loaded-ass tag division with multiple teams that could all hold the titles. Because let's just say they didn't sign LAX. They'd still be one of the best tag teams. They're still one of the best tag teams to watch. I don't see what your issue with the Best Friends is. Trent and Chucky T have been great for a long time. If they won the titles as an underdog team, it'd be a good story. Because you know why? They don't have bad matches.
Yeah, they would have dropped that shit like next
week. No, they wouldn't. Why? But why?
Because you're just holding up divisions from people who are better.
Why are you holding up the division? Couldn't like the Revival, couldn't the Best Friends prove that they're one of the best in the world as tag team champions? Are they not capable of doing that?
That's fair. I don't think they are. But yeah, they could have the shot. Sure.
I mean,
I don't think they are. But sure.
Did you watch them in like New Japan and PWGs? Did you watch them actually?
I've seen them live several times. Yeah.
Have you seen
PWG? Like, I've seen them live three or four times.
Do you have a problem with Chucky T? Is the Kentucky gentleman you don't like?
Yeah, I mean, they don't do it for me, but that's neither here nor there. Like, no, I mean, they could surprise me and take the next jump. Obviously, the division is deep enough where they would put on very good matches.
But they can carry a match too, because they're that good to do so. And you look look at Trent and you look at Chucky T, and the reason why I can compare them to the Revival is because when you look at them, they don't jump off the page. When you looked at FTR, they never jumped off the page at anybody.
No.
But they had to work in order to get to where they are. They had to. If you give the Best Friends the tag titles, they would work because they're fully capable of that. The Bucks don't need the titles yet. It's not like they're not going to get their hands on them. Again, the tag team titles aren't even a year old. There's only been two champions. There's no rush for this. The Young Bucks.
If there's two a year, one of your top four tag teams and getting this, and then you throw a bone to these other guys.
You keep saying throw a bone. Like SCU's not a good tag team. Like, what are you doing? SCU.
No, they're good. Again, they are good. But when you're on the stack team, like you bring up the Yankees. Like, Gary Sanchez would be the best player on the Marlins.
Yes.
Sure. But you're not on the Marlins. So guess what? You can bat wherever the hell in the order you want to on the Marlins because you're the best player. If you'd say, hey, manager, bat me second, bat me third, you can bat where the fuck you want. You're the best player there. If they were in NXT, they could hold the title for as long as they want. But they are not. When you're on the Yankees, you can't go up to Aaron Boone and say, yo, bat me ahead of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. We'll look at you like, sir, are you fucking nuts? You go bat fifth because you're the fifth best player. That's where you belong. Sorry that you're not on the Marlins and you can't dictate where you hit. That's what they are. They are really good. They are better than a lot of NXT, but they're not in NXT.
If you want to stick to this baseball argument, be clear. Do you bat your team in order from the best player to the worst player? Is that what really happens in baseball?
No, oh, but okay. I consider third the best spot.
I'm just asking you.
My analogy in the group chat was batting third.
I'm asking you.
Or cleanup. Because he can bat neither of those
players. This has nothing to do with the order. My point is, Gary Sanchez could be the MVP of the Yankees at any given moment for a 2 to 3, 4 week, maybe a 2 month run, just like he was when he got called up and hit a bunch of dingers, right?
Yep.
But he still wasn't considered the best player on that team, correct?
No, we have Aaron Judge. Correct.
But at that particular time, he was more than valuable enough to carry that team on his back because he had a hot bat. If the best friends have a hot bat, they can carry the titles. The other players will get theirs. They'll be fine. You ain't got to worry about Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, or Giancarlo Stanton. You don't have to worry about them. They're going to get theirs.
Not dropping them in the order.
We're not.
That's the key.
This is not about the batting order. The batting order,
from fifth.
The batting order does not matter. If you could bat the Yankees.
Does. There's a reason there's a batting order.
In terms of this conversation.
I hated when Gleyber was batting ninth. It was ridiculous.
The championship has nothing to do with a batting order. I'm talking about the level of talent is so good that anybody can go off on any given night, no matter where they bat. In Miami, like, if you can't name the fifth best team or player, just like you can't name the four teams better than Breezango, it's a disrespectful comparison. And that was my biggest problem with you. Because when you can do a hot take, your hot takes tend to fly off the page. Like, you start with one thing, like, oh, the best friend shouldn't win the tag title.
Why, thank you.
And
that's so kind. I'm taking that as a compliment.
This you shouldn't. But the best friends being a good tag team that maybe shouldn't beat Paige and Omega, if you feel like that, that's fine. But if you compare them to a team that ain't doing shit in NXT, it's a bad comparison. It's a bad comparison. You shouldn't do that. That's where your hot takes get stupid and ridiculous. It's dumb.
I took a toe into hot.
No, you went far in.
I feel like it's not that.
No, you compared him to Breezango.
I've had worse.
Like, before we just saw Breezango on NXT, when was the last time we saw them on television?
They were on two times recently, but before then, not for like a year because Fandango was injured.
But you're comparing them to the best friends who are winning matches and on TV almost every week.
I compared them to the best friends because it's like Breezango jumping the other four teams ahead of them
but
to win the title.
But you can't name those four teams.
Doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. Because you can't name them. You compared a team that's on a run to a team that ain't doing shit and they hasn't done shit for a year.
Then beats the breaks.
That's not the breaks. It's just,
I feel like that's...
It's
the fifth best team is the fifth best team.
Dude, like I said, you don't have to be the best team to get an upset. Otherwise, wrestling would be super predictable and nobody will give a shit.
By the way, Breezango's wrestling again this upcoming week.
Congratulations, because the NXT has no tag teams. They are completely deficient of tag teams. AEW's
They're just helping Drake Maverick. It's not even a real tag
team. AEW's fully stacked. Whereas the best friends could put on great matches with anybody. Like, would you be upset?
It's the best tag division in the world.
Yes, and anybody can hold the titles because they're that good. Like, and this is the thing. Like, you have to put over teams. So, like, Santana Ortiz putting over Private Party, maybe Private Party enters that conversation at some point, but they have to win sometimes. The best friends can win. If they won the tag titles, I wouldn't be pissed off. It wouldn't bother me because, like I said, the FTR Bucks match, yeah, they could do it for the tag titles, or they couldn't, and we'd still be intrigued. Wouldn't matter.
I'm not saying they should never win the tag titles. I'm saying that it's criminal for them to do
it's
so
not criminal.
Before any
There's no crime here.
Of the four,
there's no crime.
Four teams ahead of them are the four best in the world.
But you said, for but them you can't, to jump you can't all do four this. Of them you can't,
before
wait,
they ever
on.
Touch gold is
let
ridiculous.
Let me do this, because you said you can't compare what they did previously, right? What is the Young Bucks tag team record this year? It's like 4-6, right? What is
I've walked that back because it's clearly
you have to walk it back, Kel. You can't use that goddamn argument when the best friends have one of the best records in the tag division. You can't call them a top four team and say they're not a top four team when the record truly dictates they are.
All right, so these other people just got there. Revival just got there. They got one damn match, but they are top four team in the world.
Based on what?
Based off previous record. Okay, I given you that. So, you have the four best tag teams in the world. None of them, it's not even like one, Dre. If one holds the title and then you want to give the best friends the title, all right. None of them have held the title yet. No, best friends can't touch it first.
It's
No. One of them have to hold it, it next. Hasn't and I think we're on our way to that.
Yet, Dansby, calm down.
One of them.
Calm down. It hasn't been a year yet. Lucha Bros.
And then next you'll say it hasn't been 2 years yet.
Omega.
And then it hasn't been 3 years yet, Kel.
No, it's not hasn't been. I'm just telling you what it is, because Paige and Omega, Paige didn't wrestle because of the Rona. So the tag titles have been on them kind of by default. You have to factor all this shit in there. Lucha Bros weren't even here for like 3 months.
Yeah.
FTR just got here. And the Young Bucks are off TV for a while. You know who's been wrestling? Best Friends.
Yeah. They got the shot because of they've been putting in work the past 3 months. That's fair. I don't think they should have won. I appreciate them getting the shot. I never said they didn't deserve
it. Just don't compare them to Breezango.
I will leave the Breezango comparisons at the door. They should not hold the titles before the other four. And that's what I'm saying. Again, just talking about the match. Good match. Right? Like, I thought it was a really good match. Kenny Omega is still one of the top wrestlers in the world. I wish we got to see it more. But the guy's busy. Like you said, it's been a year. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Sooner or later, 38-year-old Kenny Omega, you got to let the chains off, though, and let him run.
I mean, how long does it take for AJ Styles? He's how old? Oh, okay. I don't think the age matters. Yeah, I don't think the age matters. I'm just saying.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I think so, too. But, I mean, WWE took the chains off of Styles in 8 months.
They kind
of
fucking had to, didn't they?
They had to. You got one of the best in the world. You got to let him run. So
you brought him in as AJ Styles, right? They weren't an upstart company. It was
no, and yeah, then okay. You let, you know, Chris Jericho win and all this stuff, blah, blah. Cool. Kenny Omega's doing the same. You know, you're doing some other shit.
I mean, he is part of the tag team champions, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, they threw him a ball. He's fine. I'm saying you get glimpses of this, though, where you say he's still the best bout machine. He's still one of the top three or four wrestlers in the world. I just, you know, sooner or later, you got to let him go.
Okay, give it time.
Yeah, plenty of time. I'm not rushing that.
Don't rush anything.
I understand.
We have the Rona that has kept Tebow.
One of their, you know why? One of their top four guys has the belt.
Really?
Jericho held the belt, then he went and he gave it to Moxie. I can justify that. No rush. No need to rush Kenny there because their top guys are having the belt.
But they have a lot of top guys, right?
I could make a hierarchy of like four or five.
But clearly.
Not a lot.
No, like they have a lot. They don't have a lot of top guys.
I think. No, I mean,
would you
including Brody Lee as a top guy?
I'm asking you. So Moxley, Jericho, since we're going to stay on this argument, Moxley, Jericho, Omega, who's next?
Cody,
who's next?
Moxley, Jericho, Omega, Cody. Hold on, I just don't want to miss it. Pac? I'm trying to go down their roster. Pac, I like Paige. A lot. Yeah, not yet. They're building Paige to be there.
So, but okay, not yet. So then, if Adam Page would have won the title at any point, you would have been upset.
I thought if he would have beat Jericho, that would have been wrong. Saying, if he talked about that on the show.
If he would have won, if he wins the title before Omega, you'd be upset.
Again, other top answer four the question. People have won it.
Would no. he win, if he beat
no.
if he won no, the title?
If he beat Omega this time and wins the title, that's fine.
If Adam Page beats Jon Moxley and wins the AEW championship,
fine.
Omega doesn't have it.
They're building him. Okay.
He's not a top four guy though.
Other top four guys have had it. I just want to have it before you give it the participation medal again.
Participation medal? Or could you not see Adam Page on the roster?
I can, but they have other top guys already. You're not getting this. It's not that all four have to hold it before a team like the Best Friends can
just
get it.
Just one of the four.
It's that none of the four have done it.
Because FTR has been here. No, they haven't. They haven't. Oh, Lucha Bros. Oh, no, they were out too. So that makes Best Friends by default in the top goddamn four. Stop.
You're reaching.
I'm not. FTR just got here, dog. FTR just got here.
Cool. So they were four. Now they're five.
FTR just got here. Where were the Lucha Bros?
Lucha Bros were here since last...
No. Where have they been? Where have they been for the past few months?
Past few months they had Rona.
Oh, okay. So they're not there.
You could have gave them the belts
before
then. They're
not there either.
You could have gave them
the belts before Rona. They're not there either, correct? They're not there.
No, but they could have had the belts already too.
So who's left?
No, but you say wait. Oh, but we hit the Rona. Oh, but we should wait because we have
You can't put the tag team titles on a team that's not there. Adam Page and Kenny Omega.
Understood. They could have done it before.
So the best friends.
They could have held the belts. They could have won that tournament instead of SCU. They were in the finals.
So you didn't like SCU winning the tag titles in this basically what you're
I was okay at that point.
So what are you complaining about, dog?
That the next champions weren't the Bucks or Lucha Bros because Lucha Bros barely lost the tournament. Okay, so then you say, wait, be patient. There's nothing but time.
There is nothing but time.
They could build the Lucha Bros into this. Boom, the Rona hits. You're stuck with the same tag team champ. Okay, well, now you got to wait a year. Okay, now we get a year. Now someone's injured. Oh, well, now we got to wait. So it's like you can't just always say we have time. This is
we
pro
do have
wrestling.
Time.
You don't always have time.
We do have time.
Shit can happen tomorrow.
What can happen?
They can... Shit can crash. They can say we don't got enough money coming in. Our ratings are 200,000 people a week.
Stop.
We're folding.
Stop.
You just
stop.
Don't know. That's
stop.
Not going to happen.
Stop.
I'm not wishing
stop.
That
stop.
On them.
Stop.
But
stop.
You don't always have
Hell,
tomorrow,
stop.
Drake.
Stop. Stop it. What are you bitching about?
I'm just... You keep bringing it up. I left
I'm
it
I'm just
alone.
Saying the tag division just got established. They
All
have
right.
to.
So
the Young Bucks aren't going anywhere.
Go.
LAX ain't going
you
anywhere.
You brought it back up.
But you continue to say that they're not a top four tag team. The other teams
Omega.
Are here. But FTR just got here. So you want
okay.
them to win the title?
They could have won that shit day one. They're going to. If you watch the end
so?
Of that match, they're clearly put in a position. I think they're going to win it
you
off.
Think
it.
They're
I
win.
Think they're the, I but think they're the ones to take the belt off Omega.
But you don't know.
I don't. All the thing I can do is think.
So you like hot shot
And then in which they get in and they... Listen...
You like
that's what they
like
do. No,
I mean we bitched and complained about it when
they hotshotted people and lost.
Yeah. So
yeah. Hopefully not. Hopefully that doesn't lead to the
Dude,
same
it's
booking.
Okay. Just move on NXT.
Again. Oh, I was. You brought me back. You can't bring me back and then complain
you got
that
a
I'm
bullshit
back.
Argument. Like, it ain't working.
No, you brought me
it ain't
back.
Working.
Anyway, we're at NXT.
It was ridiculous.
We're at NXT.
Yeah.
You brought me back. We're at NXT. Match to kick off NXT. Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai. Because I can't believe you brought me back and then criticized me for going back. Tegan Nox, Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Mia Yim. The longest match of the night. Women's Fatal 4-Way. They said it was 21 minutes. To me, it still felt like no one really got their stuff off. There's too many moments, especially towards the end, where Candice LeRae and Mia Yim just disappeared.
I didn't like this match.
And it was just Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox for like 6 minutes. What happened? Like, how did this turn into a one-on-one? At one point, I thought it was an elimination match and the other two got pinned. Then I was like, wait, no. Because, you know, I got the two TVs. I was like, maybe I was concentrating too much on AEW. I look back over. Nope, they're just laying on the outside doing nothing. So I don't get it. Tegan Nox, okay, she's number one contender. I think it's a good baby face to get Io Shirai back into her, you know, real good heel work. Because I think that's where she was best. We were concerned about that, right? So I think Tegan Nox gives her that platform to have heel work again. It elevates Tegan Nox. I don't expect Tegan to win. But, you know, they're going to let her go and see what she has. She has the shiniest wizard. That's all I know.
Yeah, I didn't like this 4-way because...
No. Yeah, it was too long. Yeah. It didn't do anything for me.
It was too long. LeRae got eliminated like dumb quick. And then it felt like there were a lot of spots, like you said, where they're kind of like sitting around waiting to do something. And it's like these women are a little bit more talented than that. So, yeah, I wasn't a fan of this match.
Yeah, not for me. Next up, we have Timothy Thatcher versus Oney Lorcan. I really like the match because they let them work how they wanted to work, right? And I like what they're doing with Timothy Thatcher. They're actually continuing that momentum for beating the King of Bros, Matt Riddle. So, cool. I like what they're doing. I like the vignettes of him just breaking people's shit in like a class, and that's his gimmick. I think they found a good sweet spot for him. I just don't know... I don't know what happens when you pair him with someone who's not like Oney Lorcan. You know, like...
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
I mean, we've seen Riddle. We've seen Lorcan. What happens when you got to break outside of this box with that gimmick?
Thatcher is a guy that Vince would hate.
Yeah. No, he never move up. Please don't. He's like 38. Keep him down.
He's a guy that Vince would hate. And then when you're going with guys that are more smaller and athletic... Like, Thatcher grinds them to a halt. He's kind of like maybe like a GSP of pro wrestling, where it's like, oh, he's going for the takedown and you can't stop it, and like this, you're not gonna have like this high octane striking match with Thatcher where it's like real fun and exciting with flippy shit. He's more methodical, similar, not as exciting in my opinion as like a Zack Sabre Jr. He has a particular style. Yep. So I like this match, but I know it's not like everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they work this into the other members of the roster.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest thing. Like, sooner or later, he's going to have to do this style with someone else. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but we'll see. Then we have Rhea Ripley defeating Aaliyah and Robert Stone. I could have fast-forwarded to the last 20 seconds of this match. I thought the finish of the double submission looked really cool. But outside of that, if she wasn't going to go to the Robert Stone brand, I don't know what this did. Aaliyah's not going to catch on. It's like watching Mean Girls and the chick trying to make fetch work. It's not going to happen. Like, Aaliyah's just not it. She's been around 6 years.
It's not going
to... She was here before the horsewoman.
Did I miss something? Why did they split Chelsea Green from Robert Stone? Like, why?
I'm not sure.
We haven't even seen Chelsea Green.
I heard rumors of her going to the main roster.
Okay.
No, I'm dead. I
know, it's just utterly ridiculous. Like,
I don't know why.
He brought them together. Why couldn't he stick with her? I don't understand this, because Aaliyah's never going to work. And Rhea Ripley, Jesus Christ, what a fall from grace she's had. She was just the champion.
I thought Robert Stone would be really good for her, believe it or not. To get her back to a heel?
I don't know. All of this was bad.
Her best version was a heel, by the way.
All of this was bad. I mean, the best version for a lot of people are heels, and they turn a face too soon, but... This was not good. And they gotta let this Aaliyah shit go. It's not
poor good. Rhea Ripley. Charlotte just grinded her whole momentum to a fucking
bad decision. Just like I said, it was a bad decision. Terrible decision. And here we are.
Yeah, and then we have... before I move on, it's incredible that going into the Charlotte feud for WrestleMania, Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair had some of the best promos together. Such a great feud together. It looked like that was going to be $1 million. Charlotte decided to step into that. They worked well together for like 2 weeks. By the end of it, fast forward 3 months, neither of those women are in a better place. Yeah. Bianca hasn't been seen. Rhea's working with Aaliyah. And Charlotte's gone.
It's so stupid, man. Like I said, this benefited nobody. Wow. Nobody even got the rub of Charlotte being
around.
It was so...
EO?
No, because she beat Rhea Ripley. Charlotte walked away from that shit clean. She won the title clean, left clean. Like, oh, I didn't lose that shit. And then went was like, you know what? I'm going to have elective surgery. Fuck all y'all. This is crazy. Bad.
Yeah, it's bananas. So we had that match. Dexter Lumis versus Roddy Strong strap match.
I could have done without this as well.
I mean, it's Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, it's like I said.
Roddy gave him a good match. I mean, like that might be Dexter's ceiling.
It probably is. It's just, again, it feels like they're moving the Undisputed Era because they have been looking so weak these past few weeks. They just haven't looked good. They're fun.
Agreed.
But just
I think
losing.
They're moving on. And honestly, SmackDown needs it. Like you've been pushing for, they need an influx of new talent. Daniel Bryan's on paternity leave. I mean, you have fucking Sheamus. And Jeff Hardy in a DUI angle.
It's
like,
so bad. It's so bad.
And that's closing your shows.
Yo, you need SmackDown influx. Ended. You need like, I watched blood. SmackDown and it ended. And I wasn't like keeping time because I was doing work. And it ended and I was so confused. I was like, it's over? Like that's how you close this shit?
That's it?
Ugh, so bad.
Yo, it's not work. They need to tear it up. Tear it up, start again. Yeah. I don't know how. Tear it up, start again. And in main event, Io Shirai, Sasha Banks. 3.75 stars is fucking ridiculous.
I don't think it's...
Given what everything else was ranked...
that's fair.
This is ridiculous. This was, in my opinion, the best match of the night on either show. And even going to Twitter, watching it live, the breakdowns of the ring psychology. When Oscar showed up, it was a cool pop. There's no crowd. But even at home, like you pop, like, oh, Oscar's here. Oh, because her and Sasha got a feud going. Cool, that makes sense. She brings the Miz back for the first time in a while. Sasha hides the Miz perfectly, her and Shirai, so the ref doesn't see it. It actually makes sense the way that they played it off, the work with it. I thought it was good. No one got harmed in this. Like, no one lost any momentum. Sasha showed again that she's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And Io Shirai definitely is. And it was like, fuck, they work well together. And you look at Sasha doesn't have bad matches. Sasha is, I don't know, Ric Flair is really good in ring, so that I can't be disrespectful there. But she's like the workhorse of the four horsemen.
Yeah.
Or the four horsewomen. Like, you put her in against anyone, she's getting busy. And she did it again. And the ratings, which fuck ratings. But she's now proving at least to be a draw. What they thought Charlotte was going to be, Charlotte went down to NXT, and they still couldn't be AEW. Sasha went down, and her segment was 300 above the AEW segment. Like, Sasha's moving the needle.
So, yeah, I like this match. It wasn't, and this is not negative, I feel like they have a much better match in them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, the 3.75 by its on its own, I would have been okay with. But with everything else getting fours, yeah, I had a problem with it. But yeah, I could see, I don't agree with it. I'll preface it with that. I think Meltzer dinged this match because of the Asuka interference. I truly do. Because I think this match was, if it had a clean finish, it would have got a higher score. In Meltzer's eyes. For me, I would have preferred a clean finish. I didn't need this match. Me too. I didn't need this match to be a vehicle for the Asuka feud. I didn't need it. Did I mind it? Nah, not really, but I didn't need it because I wanted these two to work their ass off. We get a clean finish at your Great American Bash. That's what I wanted. But they wanted to protect Sasha and also protect Io, so you had to compromise Sasha to go over. And if Charlotte never showed up, I would have been really excited about this match. Like, I wish Charlotte would have never came to NXT because I don't need the influx of Raw and SmackDown talent on NXT, but Sasha is an exception because you want to see this kind of a match. And then you truly don't know who's going to win. Whereas Charlotte comes and she's the most protective person on the roster. She's never going to lose clean. So this was a good match. It was a good match. I enjoyed the match. I love to see these two work again. And we're probably not going to get it. But whatever.
I don't think so, but it was a cool, like, here, we're throwing you a bone for a dream fight.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I thought it worked very well. I liked the match. I probably would have given them a 4.25, but you're right. They have a lot more in them. Like, if they wanted to push this to 30 minutes, they could handle it, and it'd be one hell of a match.
Yeah, so this was fine. Before we get out of here, there's not a whole lot to talk about on Raw and SmackDown. There's really not. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm there's not. Except
Matt Riddle promo.
What the fuck?
Why was he talking about feet?
Because this is why I get concerned with Karrion Kross. It's like Matt Riddle was a guy when he showed up in NXT, he was like, oh, he's like a can't miss guy. He has the body, the physical ability, everything. And then he cuts this promo, which is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Because they don't know how to they don't know how to get people over without them being a comedy act.
And you can't do that.
Their comedy is so bad that it doesn't get people
over. This
shit
ain't funny. And it's like, I'm watching this promo and I'm cringing. And then he goes and has this great match with John Morrison. I'm like, this is great.
Great match.
But the problem is, if the character gets, you know, like, where's Otis? Remember him? He's gone. And he's got the damn briefcase. He's just gone with the briefcase. But you look at Riddle, and you look at this guy who's an amazing talent, and it reminds me of the RVD that showed up in WWE. And when RVD was like, cool, bro, and I was like, man, I can't. Even though he won, like, he would have never beat Cena if it wasn't for ECW One Night Stand. Let's be clear about that. He would have never beat Cena if it wasn't for that. If he was who he was, Vince would have never put him over as a top guy. Because that gimmick was comedy. And Riddle, I don't need him talking about feet. I need him to be a badass at some point.
Yep. And again, why send him to Fox? Why send him to SmackDown if you're not going to play up his very real MMA career?
Wild. I don't understand. I don't understand the booking.
He could be bro. He could be stoner. But you got to fit him into this box of he's an actual dangerous man.
So I guess my biggest concern, because he's beat AJ Styles and now he's beat John Morrison, my biggest concern with Riddle is that they burn him out too soon and then he becomes just a comedy act.
Well, they're not, because they're putting him against Corbin, which that's my next problem. And listen, Baron Corbin's a babyface in my eyes. That man makes the best barbecue. You can't tell me anything different. But in the sake of WWE, why is he the new like stepping stone
guy? I don't know.
I think he's good. And again, mid-card heel is his spot. This is a mid-card feud for a heel. I get it. But he's in-ring not going to bring the best out of this guy.
No.
Like, this is where Cesaro should be.
Yes.
He is a heel. This is where he should be. If you're not going to give him a title run, he should be this mid-card heel who is always going to make these up-and-coming guys look like $1 million. Cesaro versus Ricochet, $1 million. Cesaro versus, Mustafa Ali, $1 million. He makes all these guys who are mid-card guys you're trying to get over, $1 million. Him versus Drew Mack, before Drew Mack had the title, $1 million. All these matches would have been $1 million. Corbin drains the life out of people. I don't like that as his first feud. But the WWE seems to think like, oh, Roman Reigns has 8-month-long feud with Baron Corbin. He's automatically in the title picture. Corbin elevated him?
No.
No, like he cools people off. I don't get it.
I mean, I don't get it more so because like you just beat the Intercontinental Champion. Shouldn't that be? I mean, even though AJ attacked him afterwards, so I think that's the program they need to go with, and I hope they're going that direction. This Corbin thing was like a misdirection of some sort.
I don't think so.
I don't know. But like I said, my problem with Riddle is it's nothing he can do about it. It's like they put him in the, they had him win two matches really quick, and it's like boom, boom. He's one of the top guys now. Now, he should be, like you said, feuding with somebody like Cesaro in like a best-of-seven series. I'd love to see that. But if we get a prolonged feud with Baron Corbin, you're right, it's going to cool him off. Not just because of the in-ring, but their chemistry is cutting promos on each other just ain't going to work. It ain't going to work for
them. Corbin's best attribute is his mic work, I guess, but again, that's not going to elevate...
Look,
Riddle, I don't know. It's not going to make Riddle look like a real true badass. Like a hard-hitting feud with Cesaro.
I already said this last week. Take Strowman and Wyatt. Send them to Raw, right? Go ahead and send Corbin with them. And then call up the Undisputed Era to SmackDown. Now we got a show. Because now the possibilities are endless. Gulak, Nakamura, yeah. When Zayn eventually comes back. And bring Kevin Owens, too, to SmackDown.
I was about to say, bring Kevin Owens.
Bring him over there and make SmackDown the wrestling show. Look at this. Like, Riddle versus Cesaro? Riddle versus Nakamura? In meaningful feuds, not lower mid-card feuds. Like, Nakamura beat Kofi Kingston clean this week. Because they're clearly going through... But it felt like a nothing-ass match. Because they don't care about those tag titles. It felt like nothing. But if you got rid of Strowman, Wyatt, and Corbin, you sent them to Raw, now you elevate this feud. Now Kofi Kingston versus Nakamura feud feels significant. Now it's like AJ Styles, if he was the champ versus Riddle, now this program's got some heat on it. But as it stands, those guys are just kind of in the way of this being a really good wrestling show. Like, I don't... Maybe it's because it's Fox and they don't want to do a really good wrestling show. But if you remember, when SmackDown was a wrestling show, that's when it was at its best. And that's what everybody remembers.
That's what Fox was aiming for, right? Like, when they first went to Fox, they were like, they want to bring the realism. The sport.
They wanted wrestling. Brock, and then they wanted The Fiend. So I don't know. I wouldn't trust Fox to make any of my goddamn decisions. But obviously they got influence. But like SmackDown should be a wrestling show. All I need at the end of the day, and we'll close out with this: I don't need Riddle cutting promos about feet because nobody's gonna go, "Yo, did you see the Riddle promo on feet? It was amazing." That's never going to happen. But they will go, "Did you see the match? That was amazing." Let the man wrestle. Cut all this bullshit out.
Which it was. I didn't need the promo at all. Just get straight to the match.
God, it was so bad. And then it had no audience. It was really bad. So it was just bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. Liked the match a lot, though. So, yeah, man. That's our show for today. It's a lot packed into this wrestling segment. And I'm sure people hit us up on Twitter letting us know about this best friend's Breezango hot take. One of my latest. I'm... really not anticipating many people being on my side, even though they should. So, we'll see what rolls in on Twitter. It was a fun one today. We'll be back later in the week on Thursday to talk MMA and boxing, mostly MMA because UFC 251 is coming up. We'll go over and see where Jorge Masvidal and Usman stands at that point. We'll make our predictions for the entire card, and I'm sure we'll have other wild stuff to talk about as well by the time that pops up. Shout out to the sponsors. Shout out to the network Blue Wire. Make sure you guys check out betonline.ag. Plenty of stuff to bet on now with sports coming back. Make sure you also follow us on social media at @CornerPodcast_, me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. It was good. Until next time, we're out.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair, each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.